Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Hey, do you know that gay people are real people? Many accept Jesus. How often have you seen a gay person preach in the pulpit that your pastor is in? Meaning, you know, you have some guest speakers that your pastor brings in from time to time to speak to your congregation. Some of them you like, you know. You say, hey, your pastor's pretty good. He brings in somebody, you know. One time he brought in somebody who spoke on the last days. Another time somebody came in, he's really good at speaking about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, yeah, every now and then you get people coming in. Then you have times that you have people that will tell their testimony. Or people that are missionaries that come back and they have a whole presentation of what they've done overseas someplace in a mission field. And you have all kinds of things going on in your church. And then what does your pastor do about gay people? Does he invite any of them? There's a lot of gay churches. You know, gay churches doesn't mean that it's some kind of weird thing that you know, it's a like a satanic cult or something that you know, gays go to, so it's really a sicko kind of thing. A gay church, people, a gay Christian church is like what you're doing right now when you go to church. You know, when you sit out there in the pew, and your pastor comes up there. And you have your little announcements. You have the person in charge of the singing, the music pastor, you know. And there's people back there in the choir, and they sing a few hymns. They get you to stand and sing, or sit and sing. And they give you these little commands: stand up. Now you sit down, and so forth. And they often put media presentations so you can see the song, because you don't got to memorize, and so you, or see the verse, and you have all these kind of things all set up, and then the pastor gets up there, he preaches his thing there, and you say amen to your heart, you're feeling real good, you know, right on, and, you know, learn a lot about Jesus here. You know how it is, those of you that go to church, or Sunday school, you know, in Sunday school, you see studying some particular subject in the Bible, or and going page by page. Maybe they're doing the book of John, so they start verse 1, and they kind of go through there. You know, it takes a few weeks or something to get through it. You know how it is. You got in the church. You know what being in a Christian church is like. Well, if you go to a gay church, depending on the denomination, because just like going to a straight church, depending on the denomination, their rituals of what they do during the service varies a little. Some churches, the pastor is called the priest or something, or they have to wear this kind of thing that looks like they're holier than thou. Some, you know, the choirs all elaborately look like dressed in like they're graduating from college or something. And some of them pretty casual. Some of them are Pentecostal. Some of them got to do this kind of thing because they're Catholic. You know, all kinds of different things. Some of them wait once a month to do communion. Others do it every time. They think that they're ordered by the Bible or something to do it every time. There's all manner of straight churches, and there's all manner of gay churches to fit all these kind of denominations. Some of them are all a mixture of denominations, because either this town is too small, or you know, you go to a really nice big church, you're going to have to go to something like Metropolitan Community Church. If you're Catholic, you go to something like Dignity or something. And there might be a mixture of it, because it's almost like a non-denominational church or a interdenominational church. And, but it's a church. It's a Christian church. Some ways may not be the way you like. Other gay churches out there, pretty good. You can go to one denomination. There's a certain gay church out there that is otherwise pretty Baptist-like. But it depends on, you know, they have a pool of pastors that they get from, and sometimes they get maybe a Lutheran pastor in, and so you're going to have, even though they have a theme to go by, you're going to have the little bit of background of whatever the pastor is. So gay people have to kind of tolerate a few things more than straight people, and so they become a little bit more able to not be that concerned with differences. Although some of the differences in denominations are pretty bad. And a lot of gay people just simply go to regular old church. You look around in the congregation, there's probably a number of gay people sitting there. Some maybe sit next to you sometime. Some are singing up in the choir, and maybe one of them's assistant pastor or Sunday school teacher or something like that. And as far as you know, he's just some man of God or woman of God out there serving the Lord. And he had no idea they're gay. People, you have a concept about gays that is not real. You have been conditioned all your life with lies. If we look at the black community, we can see some 400 years or more of them fighting for rights. A lot of political things. The church was almost 100% against black rights of any kind. But the political process took quite some time. It wasn't even until last century, you know, 1900s, and now we're in the 2000s, you know, 21st century, back in the 20, you know, a few years ago we were in, what's that called, what that was called, the 20th century. Now we're, anyway, how would that work? They began to get some equal rights to some degree. They're still having to fight. They have to have big organizations out there to really monitor Congress and monitor a lot of types of things. And they stand up and they make people listen to them now. And you better not make mistakes in when you're talking in any kind of political sense, because you can lose your job, because they have done a very good fight. If it's black isn't sin, God is on their side. It's the same thing with gays. You know, where do you find one of the things people like to do is compare gays to murderers or other evil kinds of things, you know. It's just like, well, I guess if gay is not sin, then stealing is not sin. Or murder is not sin. How about because, you know, because I have his name Gays for Jesus, and so on, and say, gays for murderers. Or something like that, you know, or murderers for Christ, yeah, that's how it works, or thieves for Christ, or something, and to a degree that does make a little sense, because they would be ex-thieves, actually, and they'd be able to help other thieves become ex-thieves. But the idea behind when you hate this name, Gays for Jesus, is that you would rather it say ex-gays for Jesus. In other words, you want gays to change and be straight. But you know what you don't seem to care about? Is actually listening to gay people. You'll listen to your own testimonies. If the person is straight and they give a testimony of blessings that God has done, of their walk in Jesus Christ, you're all happy and amen. You know, even if they're wild or a bit extreme, or you may particularly doubt it, you're still going to amen them and praise God, you know, for the testimony, even though you may think that's not really answered prayer that they got. They just believe it is and they accept it. Maybe God didn't really answer, but you're going to amen anyway, as though God, by faith we will believe that it was an answered prayer for this person, even though maybe it was just ordinary daily event that, you know, anybody, anywhere, with belief in any other kind of God or no God, we'll get the same kind of deal on the same kind of thing. See, Christians love to just make everything something that God did. And they forget that God pours the rain out on the just and the unjust. He will bless the unbeliever, and he will bless the believer. He loves man. Can you know that? He loves, if you're a human being, he loves you. He's going to do whatever he's going to do to make your life halfway decent. But he's also going to do whatever he's going to do to straighten you out. I mean, if you're leading a life that's going to not keep you with him or not get you to him, he may put some things in your life to bring you around. And this is where it gets good, because when you accept Jesus, you begin to get a personal relationship with him. And you know, as the years and decades go by, can you imagine having a personal relationship with somebody that never leaves you and you never want to leave them? And so you have a daily relationship for day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. What we are building here is a testimony of what Jesus did in our lives. Now, anybody that isn't the person given the testimony cannot point the finger unless they were there, unless they saw it happen. They can't say, you are a liar, it didn't happen in your life. Here's this person pouring out his guts and telling you, you know, this happened to me. I went through this terrible kind of situation and I cried out to God and God answered my prayer and these are the results of it, and here I am today to tell you these are what the, and God did it, and so forth, through Jesus Christ. And you can't tell them that didn't happen. And most of the time, if they're straight, you just believe them. Now, there could be somebody that, hey, I was there, and it didn't quite happen exactly that way. Then you have somebody that might be lying. Generally speaking, when somebody stands up there and gives testimony, they are pouring out their guts from their heart of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their walk with him and the events that took place in their personal relationship. Just like that in your family life, you have your mother and a father and your brothers and sisters, and or your work life, you have your fellow employees and your boss and everything, and you intercommunicate with them, you talk with them and say, fine, how do you do, you know, and hey, you know, I did this thing, you have personal relationship with them. And so you could go and tell somebody, you know, this is what happened at work today. And your mom says, oh, great, you know, that's pretty nice, you know. And thanks again for giving me this birthday present, you know, stopping by. You could tell people these things. And when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you could tell people what you and he did together. But does your pastor let a gay person come in and give their testimony? No. They may try to give an ex-gay person to come in, and I heard lots of ex-gays give their testimony. It's always kind of interesting, you know. They're, when they get back and tell them the story of when they were more active in the gay life, as it were, you could see that, you know, like in the movies, or they make a little star, little flash of light, a little gleam, sparkle in their eye. And you see that just plain as day. They, you know, they're just reminiscing. And then when they get on talking about what the usually just, you know, a few months or a year or something, of how they're trying to abstain and trying to, you know, it's a struggle, it's hard, and you know, and I ain't born yesterday. I talked to lots and lots and lots of people claiming to be ex-gays. And I ask them a series of questions. They ain't ex-gay. They're fighting it. They're resisting it. And all that. And a lot of you say, that's what they should do. No, people, that is not what they should do. You're saying that they should be delivered. When you're delivered, you don't want these things anymore. And a lot of ex-gay people will kind of say that because they're saying it by faith. And they're saying it because it'll get back to you. And if they don't say that, then you're going to be kind of get this facial look on your faces. Oh no, they're relapsing. They're backsliding there. Let's help them. And, you know, why don't you bring in gay Christians to talk? Why don't you bring in gay preachers to preach? You would never do that. But I'll tell you something, when you begin to do that, pastors that are listening, and folk out there that are listening that has the power to influence your church, to have the different speakers come in to speak, You won't do that because you think that you're bringing Satan into your church. It's really hard to understand. Don't you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you care about 630 million people? Won't you get to know these people to figure out what it is you should do or not do? You want to witness to them? You want to say gay and sin and all that kind of stuff? Won't you find out what you're talking about? I know one thing for sure. If you invite me to your church, I know a few things, and I do have a wonderful personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been with me 32 years, 32 and a half years almost, as me, as a born-again Christian, as the time when I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. But he spent a personal 3 years before that with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Go figure. You think I'm a liar? How are you going to figure it out that Jesus came to me 3 years, I mean, in a personal relationship type of deal, not in, well, this event and that event, and maybe send an angel to say something, or maybe somebody came over and said a few words or something, and this, that miracle, and the other thing happened, and so it made you kind of think, you know, like one time I was in a dance place, dancing away, and still in the days I used to drink a little bit, not too much, just, you know, just out, have a good weekend party-like thing, and, you know, it was just like you, a lot of you. Anyway, and so I was at this one place, and this one old woman, you know. She never ever goes in any kind of place, but she was driving down the street, and all of a sudden she just bursted out in tears and everything. God told her, go into that place and talk about me. Just say, you know, whatever it is. And she came in, she said, well, I don't ever hardly go to church and everything. I am a Christian and everything, but God got me in there. And she's just flooding tears, and he just made me do all this kind of stuff. He just said, go in here, and I'm in here, and, you know, and I and she just rattling on like crazy, and I'm looking over here, and I said, what's this about, you know, and pondering things. Our new special things were going on because Jesus was working with me for quite a while. And when I was looking at this kind of stuff, I knew this kind of stuff was not alive. It's not something that's imagination. It's just not crazy. The Holy Spirit was definitely on her, and things were happening on her. So that made me ponder, you know, that these things kind of, there's something to it, you know. Getting me more and more. Anyway, there's lots of things like that, and you, some of you have these kind of things happening. But these kind of things are not personal relationship type of deal. I'm talking about that 3 years before I accepted Jesus Christ, Jesus came to me, not at, like where you can see him, like how you doing everything, but he came to me so that I knew that he was there, and that he said to me, told me things. He told me things that I never read the Bible, you know, but he told me things that when I accepted Jesus, I began to read the Bible. It was just like that, you know, Jesus already told me this. He already said this. He already said this about himself. He said this and said that and said the other thing. You know, when I was reading the Bible, I said, he already told me this. This is already, you know, this is already what has happened. And this is exactly how he treated me. This is the way he says he loved people. And this is the way how he never leaves you. And this is that. And this is the other thing. And everything. And this is what he done for 3 years of my life. I was told him, you know, because I had a feeling that he was going to tell me he was Jesus. And I said, you're not going to be doing that. You're not going to tell me you're Jesus. A lot of you want to say, oh, you are demon-possessed, or maybe it was Satan and everything, as though they somehow or another, you need to explain what happened. I got called away, but good time, because I'm close to another time. All of this is meaning is gay people have testimonies. They have walks with Jesus. And I really challenge you. Invite me to your church. You want to see God move. Invite me to your church. There's all kinds of things. If you get your pastor to give me a call, you know, you got some information here. I'm available. There's phone number. There's post office box. There's email. You can chat with me online. I'm online all the time, usually in Yahoo. And there are gays for Jesus, using the four for the letter, the number four for the word four. And, you know, we can have camp meeting. Jesus will move. And we can do it in different kinds of ways. You know, I have faith in Jesus Christ. I've already seen it working.
I've already been to a couple of churches, you know, more than that. And I've seen the results of what's going on. And I tell you, you need to understand that what your problem is you don't want to know that gay is not sin. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to find it out. And what I'm telling you is when you get gay people to come to your church and preach, when you give gay people a chance to testify about their walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can find something out. I know something, people. I know something. If I was in your church, and those of you that might be Pentecostal and can really pray up a storm and do all kinds of stuff, speak in tongues and prophecies and word of knowledge and whatever it is, and be anointed to speak or whatever it is, I'll tell you something. God will be with me. Do you know that? God will be with me. Guaranteed, you will not be able to present your side of the story. I mean, you will. I would allow you to do that because that's part of my continuing challenge. You do whatever it is that you believe in your faith to get Satan out of me, get demons out of me, to try to, whatever it is, get God to move or something, do something. And you can have all this kind of escapism belief that, well, God's just not going to do it. It's kind of like my choice, so nothing's going to happen. Well, I put that forth back to you and say, something's going to happen, people, when I begin to preach. Because God is with me. You understand? Because I know what I'm talking about. I know my relationship with Jesus. I know the authority in Jesus Christ that He has given me. Are you up to it? Call me. Invite me to your church to preach. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Him right now and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God and that God rose You on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. But you got to do more than just accept Jesus. Believing that He's the Son of God and that God rose Him on the third day, now the only Son of God, that He paid the price for your sins because you needed to die for your sins, and you can't die for your sins because you'll be dead forever. You cannot pay the price for your sins. The wages of sin is death. Jesus came to die for you. He loved you before you loved Him, and He went up on that cross to pay the price that you're supposed to pay. He did it for you, so you would not have to die. And all you have to do is accept Him and believe in Him that He is the Son of God. Then you have to read the Bible and learn about Him. And He is a personal relationship. He is not some other God that you read a book and that's it. He comes in. You ought to be able to set the Bible down, and your testimony should be that of a living God with a personal relationship with you. Jesus is inside you, with you, 24 hours, 7 days a week. A witnessing tool for you is you could put the book down, because when people argue the book against other religions, all you're doing is arguing the book. Each person trying to prove the other person wrong by quoting their scriptures. You could put the book down, start talking personal relationships. No other religions can talk personal relationships. Read the King James Version. All other versions are Satan counterfeit. If you don't believe me, look up Westcott and Hort. Thousands of web pages on him showing you. Modern versions are Satan counterfeits. See you next week.